This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let us just turn gears a little and look into ANC politics. I mean, we have seen people launching Defend the Democracy campaign, and we have seen some people saying that, you know, there are problems that should concern us. There is conduct that should concern us as citizens. We've even seen, Joel Nechitenze writing a piece reiterating that the beneficiaries of state capture will not go down without a fight. But I have a very simple question. Is the ANC making their problems the public's problems? And I'm joined by Director of Programs at ASRI and political analyst Ibrahim Fakir. Good morning, Ibra.
Hi, good morning, Lukona, and lovely to chat to you on the radio, now as an interviewer and interrogator rather than as a colleague.
I'm no longer on the same side of the table as you, sharing, you know, a panel and, you know, differing here and there, but, you know, taking the conversation forward. But absolutely lovely to have you here, Ibrahim. I mean, this is something you've thought about. We've seen these episodes. We've seen how the problems and the fragility of the ANC is translated into the country. Of course, one may say, because they are the governing party, it's important for us to be carefully mindful of what is happening within the ANC. But there are some issues, such as this one of the former president, trying not to present himself before the Zondo Commission. I mean, is this really a crisis for the public, or is it more of a crisis for the ANC, Ibra?
Lukona, of course, it's a crisis for both. As you rightly point out, it's largely the fact that the ANC is the party in government. What happens to them inside their party, unfortunately, spills over into what happens in government. And this is not by accident. This is, in fact, I would say, by design, because we've all repeatedly gone on about the fact that our public service is not insulated from political shenanigans that happen inside the ANC, firstly. Secondly, beyond the fact that we don't have a public service which is insulated from this, many of our public servants are in fact members of the ANC, as is their right. Mm. The trouble, though, is that when they begin to let the factional affiliations start to impact on the nature and character of their work. So that's the second problem for why it spills over into the public. But primarily, you've hit the nail on the head in that this is, in fact, an internal ANC problem. The unfortunate consequence is that it affects all of us because they're the party in government, right? But if we separate the ANC as a party, as a private entity, this is their problem. And it's a historical one. I'm going to go just into recent historical memory, not very far back. 2014, do you remember when Mr. Irvin Jim, Mr. Zwelinze Mavavi, and Mr. Malema were all still members of the ANC? In the lead up to the 2014 national elections, but also just before that, the ANC elective conference in Mangaung, 2 short years after that, these three fellows were still in the ANC, and they asked for what they call a march against corruption.
Mm.
At that time, two of those three individuals had charges of corruption against them in the public domain and disciplinary charges inside their own organizations, yet they refused to subject themselves to that discipline. Fast forward to 2017, the sad demise of one of the icons of South Africa, Ahmed Kathrada. He passed away. There were a series of memorials and, you know, funeral orations and so on. And remember, at that time, Mr. Malema had already now formed the EFF. Mr. Vavi was out in a new NUMSA trade union, which have kind of split off from the alliance.
Mm.
And at those memorials, they were asking South Africans again to take to the streets.
Mm.
Why? Because they were trying to ask Mr. Zuma to leave office. So First, they were fully behind Mr. Zuma. They wanted him to leave office twice over. Now they are back to defending him. What's the common trajectory? It's always simply before a big ANC event, like an elective conference, or the extremities of factional affiliations inside the ANC, and they're now no longer factions, they're becoming fractions. So unfortunately it's an internal issue which affects all of us. Now I'm not suggesting that they must not ventilate this in the public,
Yes.
but they mustn't make their problems ours.
No, I mean, I absolutely get you. And I mean, this common trajectory that you talk about, and of course, we've seen many people who have supported the former president and then, of course, eventually falling by the wayside. You look at the Youth League and how the likes of Malema, their suspension and expulsion was eventually confirmed by the Mawangaung Conference of 2012. Of course, Jim and Vavi themselves eventually found themselves out on the cold. And interesting enough, Ibra, the person who was sent to try and mediate the troubles there between COSATU and NUMSA at the time was now the current president, Ramaphosa, and it seemed as though he was in a way assisting to do the bidding for the then president Zuma. So it seems as if there is a laxity from within the ANC when you are still on the right side of the dominant faction and you are still enjoying a level of patronage. And then for me, that brings us to the question, how credible are these individuals who are trying to get this resonance with society and appeal to society that they are still, the right block, the right type of tinder within the ANC?
Well, some would argue that, look, there's been a modicum of accountability which has been exercised either through the charges which have now been preferred against the whole series of kingpins within the corrupt state capture project. And note, I'm using corrupt state capture. I'm not just using the word state capture, because in part, democracy enables capture, but that's a whole separate conceptual discussion for another time. So let's just say there's been a modicum of accountability. So we can say that there is a right side. Sure, there's no doubt about that. The problem and the trouble is that this right side, firstly, appears only to be and want to be on the right side when there's nothing personally at stake for them, as you point out. So there's sometimes where you will gloss over all of this. And it's happened repeatedly in the both the 2014 and the 2017 instances that I've just narrated to you. Remember, before 2014, the Inkatha saga had been going on for close on to a couple years already. Several investigations, accusations already been made that the criminal justice cluster was being manipulated. There were already massive charges being preferred against a whole bunch of people. Yet no action was taken. We were being asked to take to the streets. Now, what stops you when you're the party in government to use not just the institutions, of course, which are justifiably independent, to ensure that accountability and oversight is in fact held and their feet is held to the fire? Because you're in control of the institutions. No one's suggesting you must abuse the institutions, but you must use those institutions within the law. Because of the fallout factionally among some of the public servants who are affiliated to those factions, they didn't act at the time. Again, repeatedly, we're finding that the rules exist for dealing with these problems. Just take the example that you're talking about now. Mr. Dolnyet Tsitenzi, of course, known inside the ANC as Peter Mayabuye by his nom de guerre, he is making a very valid case, no doubt about it. The facts are salient. He's on the right side of the principles and of the issues. My problem, Lukona, is that he is making an allegation and an accusation which says Mr. Magashule, who is the Secretary General of the party, is systematically orchestrating a campaign to undermine structures of the
And he
ANC.
stands out like a sore thumb amongst his peers, he says.
Right. Now we can debate about the ideological political aspects of standing out and standing apart from your colleagues, because that's a natural part of the debate. But here's the nub of the issue. Making the accusation that you are systematically undermining structures of the ANC through an orchestrated campaign is actually a chargeable offense under the ANC's constitution. So there ought to be no polite debates about this, whether in the media or elsewhere. They must look at Section 25, subsection 17 of their own constitution. A whole range of clauses there, which talk about undermining the structures of the ANC, about undermining collective decisions made by the ANC. There's a whole range of those clauses.
Yeah.
Now, he's making the accusation, you're not only undermining the structures of the ANC, you are going against the instruction to an organ of the ANC, which is the caucus. The caucus is now instructed by the officials that they must vote a certain way on an issue before parliament. Mr. Magashule says, no, people who voted or who stayed away or who didn't participate or wouldn't vote the way they were asked to are correct.
Because the top six is not a structure in any case, and even says, what consequences?
Exactly. So do you see where the nature of this debate is now going, where you've got the rules? The rules, structures, and processes are in place, but they're not being used. You're asking the public by ventilating these issues to pronounce on them or to sympathize with you. That's well and good. That's part of public discourse. Mm. Why not simultaneously use the instruments available to you? That's my question.
In fact, that's where I want us to go next, Ibrahim. I'm in conversation, of course, with Ibrahim Fakir, and we're just discussing, is the ANC making its problems the public's problems, problems of South Africans? And of course, that line is 0861-987-000. What do you think? Are we being sucked into ANC problems? I mean, Ibrahim, how much confidence would you have as an ordinary South African who is, of course, interested in ensuring that the stability in the country, the rule of law is upheld, and the constitution reigns supreme? When you are being called in and they say, help us defend this democracy, but the same people, as you are beginning to suggest, are not using the political muscle, influence, and access that they have to show and demonstrate to South Africans that, at least with the little that they have, they are willing to act and are able to act to rein in these individuals who are purportedly undermining the structures of the ANC, the instructions of the ANC, and almost causing confusion and paralysis within the organization.
Absolutely. But I mean, I can answer for myself, and I can tell you that my level of confidence is declining very fast, very rapidly. But you know, don't take my word for it. Let me take a moment and excuse myself by speaking on behalf of South Africans in general. Look at public perception surveys over the last 3 or 4 years, many of them from credible organizations like the Human Sciences Research Council or the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation. And you look at levels of two questions: trust in public institutions and confidence that leaders and organizations would do the right thing. And you'll see a steady decline over time. In fact, the decline of trust in public institutions is so low, it is now starting to reach the lower 20%. When you isolate political parties away from public institutions and you say, what's the level of trust in political parties? The level of trust in political parties is reaching single digits, single digits, less than 10%. That should tell you what the level of confidence and trust is in these guys doing the right thing. So, you know, I don't have trust and confidence, but it's not just me. So Africans are saying pretty much the same thing. And it's being demonstrated in the steady but sure decline in levels of political participation and in levels of interest in public affairs. And this is starting to manifest not just in this lack of interest or lower levels of participation, which is a problem itself, but it is manifesting in now real public discussion about withholding rates, about withholding taxes, about boycotts of these of the sort. And you've got to ask yourself, what impact does that have on public resources, on the ability to ensure redistributive policy, welfare transfers, and so on? I mean, it creates a major crisis of governance. This is not just about, well, the ANC is problematic, so are many of the people in the parties. There are real public consequences here.
Now, Ibrahim, for the caring South Africans, genuine ones, and I want to preface this genuine part, because here we were Save South Africa pops up. People are rallied behind, as you were saying. March for democracy, march for ethical leadership, march for this. And then we see some of the faces, as especially then leader Sipho Pityana. When the new establishment of Ramaphosa comes, they fold the entire efforts and they become in cahoots with the establishment. They are there signing certain accords with the president, whether it's the youth employment summit or job summit rather, and so on. But we haven't had a voice. It still seems we are still preoccupied with the past. Yes, the actions of former President Zuma are important and we should be mindful of what he's doing. But have we taken our eyes off the ball in putting this administration under the spotlight and scrutinizing its actions and failures to meet some of the commitments they have made to us as society?
Oh, absolutely. Completely. We have. And that was partly deliberate. Now, there was a time, and again, we've got to go back. Unfortunately, we also always seem to be appearing to have to go back. At the time at which this was happening, and the momentum for President Ramaphosa to be elected as ANC president and then subsequently president of the republic, the trajectory was that the president knew he couldn't simply rely on support inside the ANC. So you had to build a body of support outside the ANC structures in society at large. He had that. Society is now, whether by coincidence of the pandemic or otherwise, you know, COVID corruption, a whole range of other things, the popularity is now seemingly on the wane. And there's a frontal attack now from inside the party, but simultaneously also levels of declining popularity in the public where he staked his reign. Now that's a political crisis, so you've got to show it up somehow. You've got to first withstand the concerted attack inside the party, but you also got to re-establish credibility in the public eye. And so it's not then surprising that things like defend our democracy appears to come up, and then you end up with situations of CSOs acting to be independent, public-minded CSOs, but they actually proxies of proxies inside the party. And then they're making their own internal infractions our problem, as you rightly say. So that's the problem. And we have taken our eyes off the ball, so we haven't held their feet to the fire. It is hard to imagine that after all these months, it's now about a year later, where instances of COVID-related corruption emerged. Nothing's happened. You've had public servants in the scale of 37,000 of them who've been implicated in trying to siphon off funds which are meant to be assisting vulnerable members of the public. There's very little levels of accountability. Forget the grand things you're talking about with, you know, job summits.
Economic recovery and reconstruction, the big stuff.
even stuff that they called a stimulus, which was rather a stabilization package. Forget those big things. Let's just talk about small things which could have been done. Small incremental gains, not done. Why? Because the risk of doing that means that you alienate a broader section of support inside the alliance. Now, our question then must be, why the hell should we care? This is your internal ANC problem. If it precipitates a split, if it precipitates decline,
then so it be.
For you, so it is. We've come to a point in the country where we can no longer afford this, which is why, accurate as Mr. Netshitenzi's diagnoses are in his article, he's got to not only rally the public and inform us, he's also have to take action inside the party. And he's an NEC member, for crying out loud.
Absolutely, and I think it is those type of actions and forms of actions that we are looking for, Ibrahim. But I must thank you so much for making time for me here on Power Talk, and we have our first conversation on air.
Thank you very much, Lukona, and thanks for having me. It's nice to chat to you from the other side.
Beautiful stuff. That is Ibrahim Fakir, Director of Programs, of course, at ASRI, and he's always a political voice and commentator in our discourse.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.